Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
This is actually one of my favourite parts and times of the year. I know not everybody's into the carols, things and stuff like that, but I made a conscious decision a few years ago to go, you know what, we've got Christmas and there's lots going on, it can be so busy, but I've made the decision, I'm just going to enjoy it. That's my decision. I'm just going to actually enjoy it and make the most of this season that we've got and actually just have fun, because there is so much that we can be thankful for. I mean, stating the obvious, things could be a heck of a lot worse. There's a great deal of turmoil happening throughout the world, and we're facing, you know, the greatest, the most significant refugee issue that the world has ever seen. People's being displaced from their homes and fleeing for their lives, and here we are in the comfort and the luxury of our country that we get to sit here like this with all the wonderful support networks that we have available to us. So, you know, I think we have lots to be grateful for and lots to be thankful for. And I think that through this time, we shouldn't be negligent of, and we should be mindful of and praying for those that are certainly less fortunate than us. So I actually love this time of year. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say that I love carols. I think it's something that gets played in our house, whether the girls like it or not. It is, it's on high rotation in our house, and it's a suck it up, princess. It's my call. I have to listen to enough Justin Bieber and stuff so you guys can listen to some Christmas carols. So one of my favourite passages to do with this whole Christmas Advent season that we're in, and there's so many different stories and principles we can draw out, but there's a couple of passages that I wanted to focus on this morning just for a few minutes. And in Luke chapter 2, one of the kind of accounts of Jesus' arrival, and I think the reality is, no matter where we're at in relation to the whole God thing, the reality is it's a historical fact that Jesus came and that he walked on the planet. We can't argue or dispute that. We just have to decide whether he was who he was, said he was, and he actually did the things that he did, and the circumstances, particularly the supernatural circumstances surrounding his life. We know throughout his arrival that there was some pretty significant supernatural events that took place for that to happen, the Bible tells us, and then throughout his life, and of course later his death, burial and resurrection. So we just have to work out what we do with that and this guy called Jesus. And upon his arrival in Luke chapter 2 verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, understandably. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" And this is one of the sentences that I love at this time of year. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Everybody say, all the people. That all means you, me, it means all. It means that nobody is exempt from all. It's all inclusive. And that is God's heart, that it will be good news of great joy that will be for all the people. "Today in the town of David, a Saviour." Turn to the person next to you and say, "A Saviour was born." A Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. One of the things I know that as a church, and particularly a leadership group and our church family here, if you're not a regular at Compass or you're not a regular church goer, and we get that, we would love for you to leave today with a great sense of joy. That I've got good news of great joy for you, that you would leave this place today with great joy. And there's a lot to be joyful about. I know there's the practicalities of what I've just said, but I think something more deep and something more significant than that, there is a joy that we can experience and live in daily that has nothing to do with, and it's not dependent upon what we have or haven't got, what we do or don't do, where we live, what we drive, what we own, what we want. It's got nothing to do with that. It's more significant and meaningful than that. It's a joy that isn't connected to our emotional state, the highs and lows of that, or the feelings that come and go. It's not about that. It's a joy that's sort of separate from all of that. And it's a joy that doesn't have to do with the circumstances of life that we find ourselves in. And it's a joy that can actually sustain us through the toughest of times, but help us celebrate the smallest things as well as the biggest things with a great freedom. That's the kind of joy that I'm talking about today, that I think we can learn from the arrival of Christ and his life. And so today we come together to celebrate and to remember God's crowning glory, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, to all of humanity, to send his one and only son as a gift wrapped in flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, giving of himself his son to humanity. And right from the very beginning, as the guys did so well this morning, we kind of get this idea right from the very beginning. Why are we going back to the beginning when we're talking about Christmas? It's because that's a good place to start, of course, the beginning. But we've got this idea that there is this God that created and everything and manufactured, created and sustained life so he could have relationship with you and me. That's God's heart. It's God's desire. But we saw so very well that depicted that man stuffed that up. And that relationship that God wanted and had was fractured and broken. But yet, because there's this incredibly loving, caring, benevolent, gracious, forgiving God, he provided ways and means for mankind to maintain relationship. But they had to go through so much rigmarole and sacrifice and process and systems and to get it absolutely right, to present a sacrifice that was without blemish or spot. But the reality is we know we don't live in a perfect world. There's no such thing as a perfect sacrifice. And so it had to be repeated again and again to maintain relationship with God. And so we see the Bible is history. It's his story. It's God's story of how he related and relates to humanity. And there's so much that we can learn through that. Throughout this story of what we have today is the Old Testament. We see woven through that, we see these threads, if you like, throughout this story, this underlying idea that at some point God was going to send someone that's going to reconcile man to himself so that the sacrifice and the sacrificial system that was in place could be done away with, and once and for all a sacrifice would be made. And so we see threaded through prophecies, if you like, or predictions, however you want to frame it. Some scholars would say there's over 300 predictions of what this Messiah, this new king, this man that would come and bring peace and reconciliation across the world, but also between man and God. There's over 300 predictions of what his life would be like, even to the details of where he would be born. And the amazing thing is, I don't know if you realize this, but you don't actually choose where you're born. That kind of like is just, I believe, part of God's ordained plan and purpose for each of our lives, and there's no mistakes in this room. And so God's purposed us to be gathered here today, and I don't believe nobody here today is here by accident. There is a reason why somebody actually invited you. There's a reason why you're here today. That's not by accident. And there's good news of great joy for you today. So we want you to leave with great joy. And so we see this story of God's story throughout the Old Testament, and we get to the last book of the Old Testament, which is a book called Malachi. And then we get this weird kind of 400 years silence between when that was written and to the arrival of Christ. And you might think that's a long time to wait, and absolutely it was. There was a whole series of things that occurred in that space of 400 years that were ongoing preparations for the arrival of the Messiah, and we see that Jesus arrives nearly 2,000 years ago, and this incredible gift of life that was given and born change things. Things changed when Jesus arrived. Not just for Mary and Joseph. Any parents in the room would know that when a baby arrives, things change. There's no doubt about that. You know, just life changes. But not just when this life was given and born did things change, but it changed lives. This life changed lives, even from the moment that he was born, and the impact of that and the ripple effect throughout the heavenly realms and the manifestations that occurred, lives began to be changed from the moment that Jesus was born. The shepherds, the magi, the wise men that came to see him, lives started to be impacted and changed because of the arrival of this guy, Jesus. History itself was actually divided from the time he was born before his birth and after his birth. And I know we've tried to change that, but the reality is all of that occurred because of the arrival of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus arrived, it changed things. And at this time of year, we reflect on so many aspects of this story, and it's mind-blowing. And yes, it does take faith to believe that these things actually happened. I mean, the virgin birth, for example, the fulfillment of the prophecies that I spoke about earlier, that Jesus' life is fulfilling those, as well as the virgin birth, as well as angelic appearances and messages confirming the coming of Jesus. I mean, they're all significant things. I mean, Mary and Joseph needing to travel from where they were to Bethlehem and being caught in the inn there, and it's the only place they could go, and depicting and as prophesied, the arrival would come in such a way. As I've said, the shepherds and the magi being told through supernatural events that as to where they could find this Saviour. And what about the astronomical events that occurred? I'm not talking about just big, I'm talking about the star astronomical events that occurred. The stars being and stars guiding and leading, all being by astronomers, actually confirming that these events took place at the birth of Jesus' time. And yet I guess we can't forget either that we talk about Christmas, we don't just talk about a little baby, because that baby actually, as they do, should grow, and he grew to do and accomplish all the things that he did. But over the next week or so, I guess we're focusing on the arrival of Jesus. We're focusing on the birth, the delivery, the arrival of this precious gift of life, a Saviour wrapped in the gift of life. And so we remember the day. And I began to think about it. I just remember it was no ordinary day. It was no ordinary beginnings for a baby, that's for sure. But it was no ordinary day. It was the day a baby was born. The day hope was born. The day love was born. The day peace was born. The day joy was born. The day light came into the world like never before. The day purpose was born into creation to bring purpose and meaning to all of humanity. The day that freedom was actually born. The day that healing was born. The day that deliverance was born. The day that salvation was born. It was the day that Jesus Christ was born. That's a significant day. And it's a day that we remember and we celebrate. Just want to take a couple of minutes, if I may. I could talk about each of those and we could glean so much from the Christmas story. But the thing that I want to just focus on for a minute was that it was the day that salvation was born. Later on in the same chapter that I just referred to then in Luke chapter 2, but in verse 25, it says there, at that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul. Incredible words from this guy that had a promise from God that he would still be alive when the Messiah came. And here we have the manifestation of that in this baby Jesus, and he comes out with these words. And the ones there that I want to focus on, which I guess echoes the sentiment of the angel's presentation to the shepherds, was that I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. So we see this shift of going that God had this favored people group to now actually wanting to open salvation and relationship freely and openly to all people. That's good news of great joy for us, for all of us. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you're perfect? Do we have any perfect people here today? I'm waiting for Troy to say something, but he's very quiet. Oh, he's got his hand up, sorry. Sorry, the light was in my eyes, Troy. It must have been your halo. It must be your halo glowing. If you don't think you're perfect, you're in good company. You're in a church filled with imperfect people that fall way short of this perfect God. I didn't ask if you're a good person. I asked if you're a perfect person. And I think if we're all honest, we realize that none of us are perfect. We all kind of have our brokenness and our mistakes and our failings. None of us are exempt from that because we're all human. So there's nothing that we as imperfect beings can do or present to our perfect God to reconcile the brokenness that was there. And see, the cool thing is, and the gracious thing about God is that he knows that we're not perfect. You know, the cool thing is when we sit here and say, I'm not perfect, God knows that. And he loves us anyway. He just loves us just the way we are. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are if we're open to becoming all that we were created to become. And so God knows that there's nothing that we can do around providing a perfect sacrifice to atone for or pay for all of the wrongs that we've done. God knew that, so he took it upon himself to provide the sacrifice, to provide the way for all people to come back into relationship with him. And the only way that he could do that is providing a perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering, the perfect payment of debt was to give himself his only son, Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus knew no sin but became sin for all mankind. That he did no wrong, he did nothing wrong. And we get to remember God's incredible gift of grace and love to us. You know, one of the things that I love about what God says through the Bible, through this gift of Jesus Christ, his son, and that salvation comes through him, that we can actually have the assurance of our salvation. And the thing is, there's nothing that you and I can do to earn that. There's nothing that we can do that's good enough to actually make up for all the wrongs or how far we short from being perfect. And God goes, hey, I'm giving my son as a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So when I stand here today, I can go, you know what, if I was to die today, not that that's going to happen, I'm no rush, that's for sure. But if I was to die, I am confident, nothing because of me, but because of everything that Jesus has done, I will go to be in heaven with God. I have that confidence, I have that assurance that my salvation is secure in him. And it's not about what good works I do. I can't earn my way into heaven, I can't buy my way into heaven, I can't help enough grandmas across the road, and I can't be a good enough husband, I can't be the best dad ever, and that somehow earns my way into. It's a gift of grace by faith. That God says, hey, you guys, I know you're not perfect, and the only way that we can restore relationship is by the debt for your wrongs to be paid for, and I'm going to actually cover that by giving my son Jesus. So unto us a child has been given, unto us a savior has been born. And we could talk about all the other ones, but we won't. But as today, I'm not sure where you're at with the whole God thing or where you're at with understanding this incredible grace gift that God has given us, and salvation is being offered to all mankind. And the thing is that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. That might sound heavy, but it does put Jesus in a category of his own. Because he either is the Messiah or he's not. There's no sitting on the fence with this one. So he either is who he says he was or he's not. And yet I choose to believe that he is. And I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for Jesus. I don't know how selfish I'd be. I don't know how destructive I'd be to myself and to others and a whole bunch of other things if it wasn't for Jesus in my life and the difference that he's made in me and many other people in this room's lives. So what we do here at Compass Church is we run a course for people who are inquiring about the Christian faith, and it's a great way to learn and a forum to ask questions. For me, there's no such thing as a dumb question, just a dumb answer. So if you ask the question, you're the smart one. It's the person trying to answer it. But we offer a course called the Alpha Course, which obviously is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. It's the beginning. And if you're kind of like curious about the whole, what is this whole Christian faith about and Jesus and salvation and what is all of that about, what does it mean? Then I encourage you to consider early next year, we're going to be running a course called the Alpha Course. And just to let you know a little bit about it, just before we close today, why don't you just check out this clip that'll just let you in a little bit about Alpha.
What does it take to live a life of adventure? The truth is, the first step is always the hardest. That's the one that takes the most courage. But I've learned not to run from that fear and just do it. My Christian faith can be a little up and down, like any relationship. It has struggles and it has doubts. But it so often brought light to a dark path. Warmth to a cold mountain and strength to a failing body. I remember crawling onto the summit of Everest and clearing the snow from my mask to see the curvature of the earth at the edges. But finding a simple faith that empowers my life, to me, that's been my greatest adventure. Got questions about life? Try Alpha.
So there you go. If you don't know who that is, that's Bear Grylls. But if you've got questions, or next year you might take it upon yourself, you know what, 2017, I'm going to actually explore spirituality and faith and what it means to be a Christian, not out of rules and regulations and religion. That's not what I believe it's about. It's about a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And if you're interested in coming to that course, if you come to the course, it doesn't mean that you're signing up to become a part of Compass Church, although I think a lot of people in this room would think that's a great idea. You're most welcome to come and hang out at that course, ask questions, explore, and just see what you think out of that. So after the service, down at the pull-up banner where there is a table there, we're going to have the opportunity for you to express your interest, and we'll follow you up in the new year, let you know when the course will be starting. But that's a great way to begin. And so if you've never done that before, even if you're a regular at Compass Church, we encourage you strongly to get along to one of those courses just to find out a little bit more about. We have a number of courses that we hope help people to grow in their relationship and understanding of who God is. But again, this morning, we just want to thank you for being here. And if you don't have a church home, if you don't regularly hang out at church, we hope this morning's experience has been a good one, and something that would kind of like go, you know what, probably even think about coming back. You are always welcome. If you're looking for a church home, please have a chat to one of our leaders that will be around the hub, and or if we can, if you're interested in finding a church, we're committed to helping you finding one wherever you might live and for trying to find something that fits for you. We think it's really important to be part of a community and experiencing the blessings that come from that. But believe it or not, you've got incredible gifts and talents and things that you can actually offer and contribute to a community as well to help it become what it's meant to be. So it's great to have you in church with us this morning. If you have any questions, we'd love to chat after this service this morning. But I pray that over the next week or so, that you would just take a moment maybe just to reflect on some of the great things that we have reason to be grateful for. And one of those is that God took it upon himself to send a Savior to the world, that we're recipients of that immense and beautiful thing called grace. That's something worth celebrating and exploring.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.